34. Then we'll go to 34.
Item number 34 from the Deputy Director, Department of Human Resources, submitting informational reports relative to reclassification of existing positions, advancement within the pay range, reallocations of non-represented positions, appointments at an advanced step of the pay range, revisions to executive compensation plan positions, dual employment, emergency appointments, temporary appointments, and temporary assignments to a higher classification, recommendations to be implemented unless supervisors object.
Supervisor Cohen?
I just have a couple of questions and or comments on this, just in case people didn't get a chance to review this thoroughly. You'll notice there are some people getting some pay raises other than the 1% that most of our employees are getting. We have the first one on, mine says page 1 of 2. If you're looking at the computer, I don't know what you have. The advancement within the pay range for the Human Resources Director of Compensation. That's the person who I think one of their duties this past year was to oversee the JEQ. They're getting a raise from $96,425 to $106,575. And then after that, they'll get the 1% on top of that. So that's kind of working out for them. And then we have the reallocation at the bottom of that page, Director of County Economic Development, now being apparently retitled Director of Economic Development, going from 901E to 902E. And 901E, this person was making $90,274,000. And even though that's in the new 902E pay range, it's necessary to raise that person who's been with us for, I guess, about 10 months to give them a $10,000 raise, and they'll get the 1% on top of that. So, and it's the position of the Human Resources Department and the County Executive that they can do this, without our approval. I think Mr. Bargren might share that. You know, we may or may not have to have a judge ultimately make that decision, but we're always scrambling for money here, but we seem to be able to find a lot of raises for these people, and those are just two that I happen to notice, Mr. Chairman. And I would, if we have, I don't know what it's listed as. It says recommendations to be implemented unless we object. I guess I would object to those two. We also have the other policy that I don't know if the county executive has vetoed it yet. I think he's waiting to the last minute to veto it so they can do as much as they want. When we passed it last month saying that we were going to put the JEQ on hold and not implement the JE, they sort of been giving the JEQ to us piecemeal and saying to them we aren't going to do the JEQ till it was completed. I don't think he vetoed it yet. I might be wrong. I assume he's going to veto it. Did he veto it?
I don't know.
So I think they're trying to just get as much done as they can before that is in place, because I've talked to Mr. Mansky, and I think Mr. Mansky would say that if that's vetoed and the veto is overridden, then the JEQ process would probably be stopped. I don't mean to be putting words in Mr. Mansky's mouth, and that's just my recollection of what he said. I'm willing to listen to anybody else what the proper motion would be, if any, or what anybody wants to do with these things.
Mr. Cady, with respect to the objection, what is the weight? What is the process given that Supervisor Cohen objects to the increases for those two positions? What is to happen or not?
Mr. Chairman, if there's an objection to an item and there's a separate action vote, it's similar to the fund transfer, it would go to the board with a recommendation from this committee, and the full board would then vote on it.
Okay.
And Mr. Chairman, this isn't in my estimation a reflection on either of these people. This is a reflection on the fact that county employees who are working and making $35,000, $40,000, $45,000 a year, we're telling them you're getting a 1% raise, and I think it's difficult to face the public and say, well, these people can get a $10,000 raise, and maybe they're worth it. Maybe the initial salary for the director of economic development should have been a little higher. I don't know. So, again, Mr. Cady, what's the proper motion that I need to make?
Mr. Chairman, it would be to request separate action on the specific positions.
Excuse me?
Request separate action on those two.
That would be my request, Mr. Chairman, to request separate action on those two positions.
Thank you, Supervisor.
It would be on the Director of Compensation, Human Resources, which is, and then the reallocation of the Economic Development Director from
the. I would ask committee members, are there any more objections? Supervisor Lipscomb?
Not necessarily, but could there be some explanation on election commission moving from a high of 58 to 90? What's going on with that position?
Mr. Session, on the supervisor's question related to election commission, the election commission reallocation. Ms. Evans? Good afternoon.
Chairman, Supervisors, Katrina Evans, Compensation HRS Director. As it relates to the Election Commission, this is a particular job that was originally misclassified. It was classified as an administrative assistant. It was requested by that particular board for them to have that job reevaluated appropriately before they move forward. And based on the marketplace, this is what was the outcome.
Any further comments, questions, Supervisor Lipscomb? No? Okay, thank
wow.
You. Supervisor Stanford, then Supervisor Cullen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mine isn't highlighted. So what will be the new pay for the election commission?
They haven't placed an incumbent. It's actually moved forward for recruitment purposes.
Huh?
It was set for recruitment. They have not hired a person yet.
No, what's the new salary? Mine isn't highlighted.
Oh, sure. The range, the new range is 901. It goes from 61, and the max is 90, 274. The reason why a particular cell is not highlighted is because there's not an incumbent placed in it as of yet.
So it's a vacant position right now?
That is correct. They're recruiting for that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if I missed it or not, but were the JEQs done for these positions?
Yes.
For all of these right here?
Yes.
Okay.
They do not move forward, and they're not presented here until they go through the JEQ process.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Supervisor Cullen.
Are we the only county in the state with an election commission?
No.
No? I think
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, I believe that we are. I know that in most counties, the clerks handle the elections, unless some other large urban counties, such as perhaps Dane or Brown, has an election commission. I can check into that, but I believe we are.
Because I know there's been legislation introduced to abolish the Milwaukee. I thought it was Milwaukee County Election Commission. That led me to believe that we were the only one. Supervisor Haas doesn't think so. Then I just wondered if there was another county, what that person was being compensated.
Any other objections to these increases, changes in pay range? Supervisor Bowen, then Supervisor Stanford.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. try to understand when these changes are made after an employee leaves, particularly like the election commission, and then the wage goes up for the next person that comes in, can we be held legally liable for not offering that new wage to the person that came before?
Probably not. It hasn't been created. This is created since the incumbent left.
The incumbent wasn't in that same position as executive director?
No, what I'm saying is the incumbent has left since the GEQ was completed. Is that correct to assume that?
Okay. So, for instance, when the City of Milwaukee police chief, Nan Haggerty, was there, she ended up suing the City of Milwaukee because they raised the pay after she left, and mm-hmm. she actually won.
Mm-hmm.
That same situation cannot happen to us.
Maybe Corporation Counsel would like to give us, without any research and opinion, or at least some comments.
Should this be I did miss the question we were talking about.
Supervisor Bourne, if you would repeat your question.
I'm having legal concerns on if we're changing the pay for positions after employees leave, can we be held liable for not offering that amount of pay to the person that was in that position before?
Because he cited
the former Milwaukee police chief, Nan Haggerty, that she left and her pay, the pay was increased for that position. She sued, and Supervisor Bowens indicated that she won the suit.
Well, first of all, as a general matter, no, I don't think so, especially if there's some basis for the pay that was set before and the pay that was set now. Obviously, the claim that somebody might try to bring, and if I'm remembering correctly, Chief Haggerty brought, was that it was discrimination based on her sex, and I suppose somebody could try to also assert a similar discrimination based on race or something else, another protected category. But I think generally speaking, it's better to have gone through a process and you can defend a salary than to try to continue a process or a salary that you're not sure about in the overall legal sense. I guess, Mr. Chairman, if I could while I'm here, is Mr. Cullen alluded to before. Supervisor Cullen.
David's fine.
No. Supervisor, definitely.
Supervisor, Mr. David Cullen.
My advice on this is contrary to the action that has been proposed right now, that my advice has been and opinion has been that the objection now is not proper under the new statutes of Act 14, because these are reallocations of non-classified positions.
Thank you, Mr. Bargren. And we are in a representative democracy, and we respect law. We respect law, but on the other hand, we are not going to be patsies for anybody.
No, I understand, Mr. Chairman. Certainly, I understand, and I just felt like I should put my position.
Well, I appreciate that. Each one of us represents at least 52,000 people in our district, so we feel that we have the right to do as we need to within the context of the ordinances that are set before us. Thank you, sir. Are there any other committee members? Are there any other Supervisor Stanford?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So we're switching back the name of the economic development. We just did that. Didn't we just switch that last, right before the budget, so we're switching it back.
Well,
right. That's what happened, right? That's what's happening, right?
Well, I will say this.
Remember Theo Supervisor Lipscomb just switched the name.
I will say this.
So now we're switching. We're just switching the name back and increase. That's T.
Mr. Sessions, do you have a reaction? to the question about the supervisor?
Just that little history.
Supervisor, your memory is accurate.
Yeah, that was the title.
There was an amendment in the budget that abolished the, I believe, Director of Economic Development and instead created a new position called the County Director of Economic something along those lines. And through that action, the incumbent at that time was removed. Okay. And the new position was created.
Okay.
He wasn't removed. Yeah, he wasn't removed.
He wasn't removed. It was like he got an extension, and then he didn't come back.
I retract my comment, Mr. Right. Chairman.
But, Mr. Session, my question would be, with respect to this reclassification, why wasn't that proposed in the county executive's budget, recommended budget? Director T. Whaley Smith, I believe, has been here 10 months, and that span of 10 months would cover the budgetary, the time that we deliberated on the budget.
Mr. Chairman, the JEQ process wasn't included in the budget per se. I mean, there were references to it, but the changes in this report weren't considered in the budget. It's just separate from that.
Mr. Chair,
Supervisor
Cullen.
Let me finish, man.
Go ahead.
All right, now the other one that Supervisor Lipson wants to separate is the Director of Conversation, right?
Yep.
Yes.
The name is changing. Now, who's in that position? Who is that?
That is Ms. Evans, who was just before us.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're welcome. Supervisor Cullen.
So, Mr. Session, I don't know that you completely answered Supervisor Johnson's question, because Mr. Willie Smith's current salary falls within the salary the JEQ would recommend. But there still was a decision made to raise it by some $9,200 and some dollars. Am I right about that?
I'm sorry. It got me a little lost. If you can maybe...
Well, if I'm reading this correctly... The salary for the position was $90,274.91. It's being raised to $99,500.
Okay.
Supervisor Johnson asked, why wasn't this part of the budget? You said, well, the JEQ wasn't done. Well, the JEQ is done. The JEQ appears to me, unless I don't understand, says the salary could fall between $78,536.64 and $116,369.34. Which 90,000 falls in between, but yet the determination was made to go to 99,500, and then we're saying because of the JEQ. I'm confused.
Mr. Chairman, I apologize for not quite getting the full intent here. I mean, the position actions recommended through the JEQ process weren't included in the budget, so this was an evaluation and the recommendations coming out outside of that whole budget process. For this position, for the others listed, so they weren't included in the budget. I'm sorry if I'm sounding obtuse on this. I'm not sure if I can.
Mr. Session, we are just trying to explore and make some points.
I understand.
We're trying to
that part
flesh out our our thoughts, our concerns, committee. We have two items that have been pulled out for separate action. Are there any other items?
I got a real quick question, Mr. Chair.
Then we will vote on them separately. Supervisor Stamper.
Okay. The second pullout, Ms. Evans. How long has Ms. Evans been with us?
I've been here since, first of all, Supervisor Stamper. I've been here since July 2012.
Okay. All right.
Thank you. Supervisor Cullen has objected to two of these.
Which two?
The
Director of Economic Development and the Director of the Compensation, HRIS. We will have Supervisor Jersey.
The advice that we got from
Mr. Cady in terms of the actions that are being taken,
mm-hmm.
apparently are not in agreement with the advice given by Mr. Barber. Is that correct?
Yes.
So I guess, you know, it sounds like there's a instruction being given to us by Corporation Council that the vote's not appropriate. And I guess the board is going to move forward in any event and take a vote. Is that correct?
That's the intention, to move forward.
I don't know how you vote on something. Either a yay or a nay, therefore, seems to be an inappropriate vote based on advice from Corporation Council. I don't know how one would properly vote.
Okay. Supervisor Cullen.
Well, you know, Mr. Bargren is not a finder of fact. You know, the language of Act 14 sort of says and then I'm paraphrasing because I don't have it in front of me, that the county executive has administrative authority. We have policy authority. It would be my position that, you know, part of the policy authority is controlling the budget. And when we start adding on tens of thousands of dollars to people's salary, that's budgetary and policy. And over the past few months, through the JEQ, you know, there have been months where we've added on 24,000, 40,000 in salary. So that's sort of, you know, vote how you want. I mean, they're going to do this whether we take this vote or not. I mean, they basically said, we don't care how you guys vote. We don't care what you do, and we're going to implement this. I don't know if you saw the memo, the email from Kerry Mitchell, the Friday afternoon dump of news like a couple Fridays ago, saying, we were going to, after the comptroller told me they were going to implement lowering the salaries, we decided to create new pay bands for these people. And we're putting these people in these pay bands. We're keeping them at their current salaries. And that's what we're doing. And that's their position. Mr. Mansky was going to implement the changes to the salaries that the board adopted by overriding the county executive's veto. Based on what Mr. Bargren told him, he said, well, I'm going to follow the October 29th memo from Mr. Bargren saying that he thinks that the administration has authority over that. Eventually, the court's probably going to have to decide.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to be an exercise in futility, if I can put it that way. I think my understanding, and I certainly don't want to, and I don't know that it's a finding of fact. It may actually be a finding based on statutory changes that were made, which a court can weigh in on, perhaps. But it seems to me that we have the right to a budgetary number with regard to the costs of our administration, and it seems to me that we have the right to create positions. And neither of those are within the purview of what we're about to vote on. And I don't know if Mr. Bargren, if you agree with the fact that the board has a right to the budgetary number, so the county exec has to stay within the budget when he sets these QEJs, and we have a right to create positions in the budget. Is that correct?
Chairman and supervisors, yes. I agree with that fully, and that was also part of my October 29th and more recent memo. But yes, the board certainly has the final authority on the final budget number, departmental budget numbers, and the number of positions or creation of positions.
So what would you advise a supervisor who is trying to be consistent with your advice in terms of voting on something that's going to be put before this committee very shortly?
Well, you could abstain if you felt that the vote itself was improper, or you could vote no if you felt that the objection was improper.
I mean, this is a report being given to us. So apparently the administration at least feels that they need to report to us about these pay ranges.
Yes, and that's also consistent. Well, first of all, they're doing it, and secondly, that was another item that I did address, and I said that, yes, the board is fully empowered to ask for information, and this would fall into the request for information. Yes.
But your statement is we have no right to vote on this one way or another, take action on items pulled out, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, my view is it's a report item, not an action item, yes.
Right. All right, thank you.
Supervisor Schmidt.
Thank you,
Mr. Barber.
Thank you. You can stay there, Brian. I appreciate what you have to say. I think we all have sometimes taken and not taken, including, in the past. I can think of a previous meeting and didn't like what the corporation counsel had to say. Mm-hmm. So all I'm saying is that I've always tried to respect. And I'm sorry, it's my wife calling me because we're supposed to be out to dinner at 6 o'clock. So sorry about that. I'll call her later.
She wants you to bring home a pizza.
I'm in session. Goodbye. Sorry, honey. Lost my track a little bit here. Let's face it. Everything is politicized, and I think all of us have tried to respect Corporation Counsel and what they tell us. I mean, we don't always agree, and I don't think because we agree sometimes. I mean, We got a court case that was given to us, and there was differences among you supervisors to listen to corporation. Well, we shouldn't keep suing. The county's going to lose. Well, the county won. The last decision we just got, we all were emailed. So some of us are right, some of us are wrong. Okay, I think that's going to happen all the way through. I don't know if defend is the right word or trying to be consistent. I did vote, which is. And I want to be consistent because I was hated in the morning by the crowd, and I'll be hated by this crowd in the afternoon. So at least I'll be consistent today, both early morning and late afternoon. But we went through a very difficult process in the budget. We tried to balance the budget. And I've spoken to this before. It's been seemingly hard to me, and I've tried to be, a balanced guy and not wet it to zero, but I'm very happy we went zero this year. I think it helps our credibility, okay, and going forward. But we consistently have asked our employees and, everybody, I think most everybody's here, not for the money. I may be wrong, okay, but I'm not. And I don't think most of the people I look out here that are dedicated to what they're doing are just here for the money. They'd be probably somewhere else. It just seems, and this isn't payback. I really don't think it's payback. I think it's consistency because... we continually ask, we get our budget cut $2.5 million. Okay, all right. And we get 1% for the average hoi polloi and, the regular. And I understand people in important positions, just like CEOs, they get to, get more money, and we can look at this. But other employees don't have that. And indeed, we always talk about, and the county exec talks about this, is shared responsibility. We value our workers. We're all in this together. But then we all have to be in together. And then a very difficult vote, but I did vote to, do something to a couple of the salaries. Not because I didn't want to look at people and individuals. I don't think the people here, should get what they can get. But you know what? There comes a time, put your money where your mouth is, too. Then everybody has to be the shared sacrifice. Unfortunate people get picked out, but, that's the way it is. And so whether that's right or not, whether that's legal or not, and I don't want to disrespect the legal opinion, but you know what? We've had judges, and we look at it, and if it has to go to court, then it has to go to court because, this has been a whole long process, and I'm trying to be consistent on it, too. Thank you.
Supervisors Jurczyk, then Bowen.
In all due respect to my colleague, Supervisor Schmidt, I think this is a different situation. You can disagree with Corporation Counsel and his advice and still be able to vote on something. This is a situation in which Corporation Counsel is basically telling us an informational item cannot be voted on, and we're forcing a vote on something that is being called by this board an action item and then requiring us to take a vote. That's a whole different situation. In all due respect, I used to say that the only appropriate time to say you're going to abstain is if you have a conflict of interest. And this is, in fact, a different situation where we're being faced with really taking an action that that corporation counsel is indicating to us cannot be taken. In other words, this is an informational item, not an action. So I think there's a difference there. So I don't agree with my colleague's comments, but I think we can all do what we think we have to do, and I understand my colleagues have a different viewpoint on this. I, for one, believe that Act 14, which we are an arm of state government, has limited us on this now. And I actually, I may not like it, but I actually believe we cannot do this any longer. So I'm going to respect in that regard the fact that I have no right to either say yay or nay on this. So that's where I am on it. Thank you.
Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One, I think we are getting into the weeds of Act 14, and it sounds like we need the insight of outside counsel, which we do have, to figure what our, if they fall in line with the same perception as the corporation counsel. So that is an option. And then one of the things that boggles my mind in trying to figure out these increments of promotions that have come our way time and time again is that I've never seen totals of how much these promotions cost.
Right.
So in order to do living wage, I have to do a full fiscal note, full fiscal analysis of what that projection was. I have never seen a projection when it comes to these promotions. If it's okay with the director, do you have any information on how many promotions are coming to change through this whole JQ initiative and how much they cost?
Thank you, Chairman and Supervisors. First, I can't give you a projection of what's to come. I believe last year there were about 47 pay changes that this group reviewed and approved or reviewed, some of which came from the project, some of which were advancements in the pay range and those types of promotions.
Mm-hmm.
Each of those items had a fiscal note attached to it. I haven't amassed those, but we could go back and take a look and pull that together. Mm-hmm. Any manager who is having a change in their area needs to absorb it within their budget. So that's how we're approaching it. Does that answer your question?
Well, it sounds like you have numbers for 2013, but there's this never-ending cycle of promotions that are going to continue to come our way, and we don't know how much that costs. So we're being told by administration that there's a fiscal crisis in Milwaukee County and certain things we can't afford, but they're quiet on certain things when it comes to promotions for certain positions. So I want to see the full picture, and I think members of the board would like to see the full picture.
And
how much are we going to invest over a certain amount of time into these promotions, and then we can have that conversation of, well, this is how much that the board is willing to promote these individuals, because I think there's not a situation where we're just against these promotions, but we're also trying to weigh the fiscal balance here, and we can't see that, and I don't think we have the information to see that yet.
Thank you, Supervisor. I will say that we know that the JEQ process, we knew that that was being done last year. Also, the county executive's recommended budget, and we've heard a lot of feedback with respect to that as it relates to steps, that steps were to be eliminated. And so, and the board decided to suspend such. It's not consistent to me that people at the lower end of salaries can have their steps frozen or eliminated, and that people on the higher end can have their steps and reclassifications to occur. It doesn't make any sense to me. I'm reminded that sometimes when the President of the United States says that if I got to pay more money because I make a certain amount of money, then I got to do it. then I got to do it because I make that certain amount of money. I just think it's inconsistent, as I said, as it relates to the budget, for the county executive to say that there would not be step increases, and then the JEQ says that we're not only having different steps, we're having reclassifications to justify those different steps. So we are, and what Mr. Bargan has said and what Supervisor Jerzyk has said, I take that because Act 14 does have provisions that can be interpreted one way or another. And it may be that we need to have a lawsuit in order to see exactly where things are. But with respect to in which direction we go as it relates to this particular item, I still see in parentheses recommendations to be implemented against unless supervisors object. And as I said earlier, we, like the county executive, are on the ballot. And the electorate has an opportunity to say yay to us, nay to us. Mm-hmm. And we have been voted in to represent our constituents. Some of those constituents are those persons who are making $30,000, $40,000 a year. So if what's good for the goose is good for the gander, if their steps are to be frozen, then it seems to me that some other steps should be frozen. And that's my opinion. That's just my opinion. That's the way I feel about it. Supervisor Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, I will remove my motion or modify my motion and just say let's place this item on file and send it to the board. And in the meantime, I would hope that Supervisor Jerzyk, I'd be happy to discuss with her some of the information that I've had from outside counsel that disagrees with Mr. Bargan's point of view. And I don't want to make you take an uncomfortable vote, so...
I mean, I was going to abstain.
Yeah, but I don't want to force you into that position. Okay. So if we just send this to the board, and then maybe in the meantime we can have a discussion, and the board can then do what they want and feel comfortable doing what they want to do.
I would welcome that discussion. And just so I'm clear, I'm not unsympathetic to what Supervisor Johnson just said. I'm very disturbed that we seem to be doing nothing but giving the high-end wage earners more money within our county. And really, we continue to be at a loss as to even the status of a lot of our rank and file folks. And I mean, we're going through crosswalk and the status quo resolution, mm-hmm. which I think we're going to get to yet. It's a mess. I'll be the first one to say that. I'm not unsympathetic. And yet, I do believe until we get this clarified, Act 14 says we can't vote on these kinds of things. So. What is the supervisor going to do?
Okay.
I don't want to be a lawless person.
Thank you. Mr. Chapman Alonzo, I have a card for him before we vote on the motion to receive and place on file. Good afternoon, Mr. Alonzo. Good afternoon, Supervisor Alexander.
Good afternoon, Chairman and Supervisors. My name is Alonzo Chapman. I'm currently an Assistant Chief at the Milwaukee County Fire Department at the airport. And I'm here just to talk a little bit about Item 34 in regards to TAC positions, temporary assignments to a higher classification. And basically, I just want to defer to Supervisor Alexander to kind of talk to you a little bit about it and then maybe answer any questions and kind of give my insight on it.
Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and fellow supervisors. Alonzo Chapman is a constituent as well as a county employee. He came to me with some concerns that he has about our tax system and had wanted originally to come to this committee meeting today to alert you of some upcoming issues where he thought something may be coming on a future TAC report. And the reason we thought to do that is because if you look at the TAC report in front of you, it doesn't tell you what's going to happen and what the administration is going to do, but it tells you what has already happened.
I don't mean to be unkind. Is that item 34? Are we on item 34?
It is item 34.
It is item 34, yes.
Yeah. So we finished with 33?
No.
No, we haven't done 33 yet.
Yeah.
We will get to that next.
We skipped it.
Okay. I apologize. Thank you.
Well,
thank you. So, Mr. Chairman, we won't take much of your time. When Mr. Chapman and I spoke about the issues upcoming in a few months that were of serious concern that we expect to be on a TAC report, my question was, does this committee even have the power upon receiving information like that to make a change? And when we conferred with HR and did our due diligence on checking that, we confirmed that the committee does not. So then the question arose of, should Mr. Chapman even bother alerting the committee to his concerns? And we thought it was worthwhile, as long as the committee receives information, reports in writing all day long from the administration, that an employee and constituent to come share a few moments of his concerns might not be frowned upon. So it is my intention to review his concerns and hopefully make a change to the ordinances in response to them.
Okay.
But I wanted to just offer him my support in sitting with him while he testifies shortly about some things that he's experienced with the TAC process as it currently sits that I don't think other supervisors are aware of.
Well, we have a list in front of us, and I'm thinking that we... Are you on this list, Mr. Chapman?
No, I'm not.
Are you referring to the position in the firefighters?
Partially.
It says firefighter equipment operator.
Yeah, that's partially.
Okay.
As you mentioned, that's one of the.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, I will take testimony related to that position. If there's something to be developed, then that should be developed and could be presented in another way. But I will take a brief testimony on that position if you let off of it. Supervisor Cole.
Mr. Chair, I guess I would ask the Corporation Counsel to see if this is appropriate, because I'm not sure this is on the agenda, and I don't. You know, I know we have some people who have friends who like to sue us for violating open meetings laws. So if the Corporation Counsel even indicates that it's a close call, I'm going to leave the room and you can call me back when you're done, because I don't want to be sued again by people.
Mr. Barger?
Your comments apparently
requested
the
lawyer's
comments tonight
in
the TAC report. Is that
correct? That would be my wish.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, the only other item that we would have a comment on would be regarding asking if the supervisors are aware of the process used in a department to select a person for TAC for that report.
Well, that can be discussed in through other means.
All right. We respect the chair and would let that lay. Mr. Chapman, did you have any comments for the committee on that specific?
Yeah. Well, and I do want to clarify, there is a position in his department that is on this list. And it is the on the last page, firefighter equipment operator, and old pay from 17BZ to new pay range of 29FM. Mm-hmm. So please proceed. Chair, would you allow him to proceed?
I know that sometimes for the sake of time, I let things flow, and because I could, anytime somebody would address the committee, I could say you have to go through the chair. But I understand that there's a lot of going back and forth, and people are trying to get information across, communicated. So I can be more strict than I have been, but. Mr. Chapman.
Point of order. The firefighters are one group that still has a union representing them. Are we getting into union issues here? And is this appropriate? I'm not sure where we're going with this.
It's an item, and it's a car.
And how did they end up on that list if they're in the union?
I will say this, that I don't believe that Supervisor Cullen has been informed about this. I know I haven't been informed about this. I respect the fact that employees would like to speak to us, but on the other hand, I'm being mindful of what Supervisor Jersey just told us.
Mr. Chairman, I believe Mr. Chapman's testimony would answer her question, if that's any consolation for the committee.
Mr. Session.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, I met earlier today with Mr. Chapman and the Supervisor, and I discussed the issue with them. I'm comfortable sharing that with you through an email to let you know what the substance of that discussion was, if that's acceptable. With regard to your specific point, Supervisor Jersic, this is a position that is tapped into a management position, so the rules and the firefighters don't apply. So the union issue is not there.
But is he currently represented?
Yes. He's tacked from a represented position into...
As a chair, I would say this. I'll rule this. As a chair, I would appreciate that email. If you want to give it to send it to the chairs or send it to the committee, however you want to do it.
Staying out of this one.
Okay. Supervisor Cohen does not want it, but I think that would be more prudent than to possibly we would hear something that we don't necessarily want to hear procedurally at this particular time. So I'm not trying to be disrespectful to either of you, but since I was not apprised of what the issue was, I would rather that it be communicated through email, meeting, but not through this forum at this particular time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the future, if a county employee does take issue with something on a report being given to a committee, what should be their forum if not here?
The person could contact his supervisor, which he's done, and the supervisor could contact one of the chairmen or the chairman of a committee. In other words, I do not know exactly what the issue is, and I'm thinking that something's going to be said that it's going to be not appropriate because I didn't know the groundwork, the foundation upon which this would-be discussion would occur has not been laid.
Mr. Chair, could I just – that's exactly what Act 14 is all about. I mean, you no longer have union positions except firefighters do. So they have a very formal system. Act 10, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They have a very formal system in which they are represented. Under Act 10, those that no longer have unions are either civil service or management that answer to the county executive. So in all due respect to our colleague, you don't get personally involved with that. I mean, there's either management or there's policy. And the other thing I would object to here is there's an appropriate way to get on agendas and before the Finance Committee, and that is to, first of all, talk to the chair and to bring forward formal resolutions if there are resolutions on policy. But we don't individually represent employees within the system. So I think the actions, and I don't know the concern, and I'm being willing to listen if it's appropriate, but this may be something that this individual needs to take up with either management or their union and not go end round Act 10 to county supervisors to have them represented before a committee. I mean, I just think the whole thing is fairly inappropriate.
Mr. Chairman, may I respond?
Supervisor, I've indicated that I would prefer a communication either personally or through an email because I'm not aware of the issue. I'd appreciate that.
May I just clarify that I'm not attempting to represent the employee? I came to the table because there were two issues we intended to discuss. One, the chair disposed of, and I respected that. And the other, I'm only sitting here because I was involved in the initial sitting down and presenting the topic. Mr. Chapman's testimony has absolutely nothing to do with a resolution or an ordinance and everything to do with the item before you. But if you prefer that in an email, that can be accomplished, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm just shocked that a person from the public can't come and comment on a report that you're receiving.
They're not a person from the public. They're employees.
This is Mr. Chapman is an employee, and I, as I said, I was not apprised, supervisor, of the issue. The foundation has not been laid with respect to whatever it is he was going to talk about, as far as I'm concerned.
Well,
I am the chair today, and I would prefer the email, a meeting. I would prefer to know what was to be addressed as chair of this committee on this day.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chapman.
Oh, well, thank you.
That's my position. I'm for whatever communication would occur, if it comes to Mr. Session, I'll have it, I'll read it, and then we'll go from there.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I've known you of you and who you are for a long time, and I respect what you say wholeheartedly. And it was not my intent to come to be disrespectful to this body, you or the body at all.
No,
just
sir.
To kind of give you some information like that that was stated earlier. So I have no problems with that at all. And again, thank you for your time and consideration.
Yes, sir. And I've known you for years too. And again, I would prefer to have the foundation laid to communication.
Absolutely.
Even if it comes to Mr. Session.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Okay, you have a good evening.
Thank you. Thank you, Supervisor. We have two items before us. Supervisor.
She's an attorney.
Cullen. Well, we had two items before us. Now the motion is to receive and place on file. Any further deliberations, comments? Supervisor Bowen?
I don't want to belabor, but I think we have two options. We could move forward and put this in the list of the promotions we've already approved, or we could halt the process. And I'm not going to suggest either one. I think it's whatever the committee decides. But I don't know if we need to feel like that we have to just move forward.
Well, the motion is to receive and place on file. If it is, if the vote is a positive vote, it will go before the board, and I suspect there would be other action or some action at that particular time. If I expect it to be pulled out from the agenda, and then we will go from there.
And the report that I requested from the director will be coming. Excellent.
We have a motion to receive and place on file. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Supervisors Haas?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Roma West?
Aye.
Jurczyk?
Aye.
Lipscomb?
Aye.
Bowen?
Aye.
Stamper?
Aye.
Cullen?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
9 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to receive and place on file prevails.
Thank you very much.